Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 8. And we're going to read together verses, well, actually, I'll read it. Sunday mornings when we read together. But verses 1 through 13, we're going to expound tonight, amen? And we're going to ask God to take us where he needs to take us tonight, amen? So allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful night of praise and worship and adoration toward you, God. But Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus, the Ultimate Giver. He's the ultimate giver. You cannot outgive God. Can I get an amen? If you think you can outgive God, think again. So let's look at verses 1 through 13, and it reads, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Wow. And when you find out how many people there were there, you know, there was no 7-Eleven around the corner. There was no fast food. There was no In-N-Out. There was no McDonald's. There was none of that. There was no one selling burritos on the corner. Look at this. Verse 3, and if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Man, they must have traveled miles, miles. Verse 4, then his disciples answered him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. Now, when you look at the word multitude, that means there were so many people you couldn't even count. You got to look at it in the Greek connotation. It's multitude. It means vast, to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. He broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said to them, also before them. Look at this. And so they ate and were all filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. What? These are thousands of people. And there's leftovers. That's how good God is. You know, when he blesses you, there's always leftovers. Can I get amen? Now, those who had eaten were about 4,000. 4,000, what? And he sent them away. Immediately, got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmathuna. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him. Okay, here we go again. The ringleaders, Barnum and Bailey Circus. These are the Pharisees. These are the religious folks. Be careful with religious folks. You know why? They'll try to jack up your whole entire theology. What you know about God, these religious folks, they'll trip you up. This is why you need to know the Bible. Can I get amen? Know the word. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. We're going to look at that a little further. Because they were trying to use the Old Testament back in the day to try to test Jesus. Oh, but every test that we read that they try to test Jesus in, he passed with flying colors. Verse 12, but he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. Oh, man, these Pharisees don't know what they started. And they don't know the heart that they brought always being in contention with him. They had no to read what Jesus, how Jesus dealt with these Pharisees and where they're going to end up. So watch out for this one tonight. And he left them, and getting into the boat, again departed to the other side. Okay, so let's look at the first three verses. In those days, the multitude being great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion. Say that with me, saints, compassion. Remember, this is a key word. This is an attribute that the Lord God Almighty has toward mankind, is compassion. So he had compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way. For some have come from afar, meaning very far, long ways. So saints, Jesus was ministering in the region of the 10 towns, as we noted last week, where he had healed a deaf and mute man, causing his popularity to spread throughout the area. We don't know how long this man was deaf and mute and probably crippled, but it was a miraculous healing, and it astounded all the people that were there. And so his fame went out, and he wasn't looking to be famous. I hope you know that. And it comes as no surprise then that another great crowd had gathered. They just came from a region where there was thousands, and here's thousands more waiting. Listen, they didn't have iPhones. They didn't text each other. There was no internet. People were running to and fro towns and saying, there's a man that's doing these miracles. So in this episode, the crowd had been following Jesus for 3 days, listening to his teaching and observing all of his miracles. And whatever supplies they had brought along were depleted, gone. So their cookies and crackers and whatever they brought was gone. Gone. And they were there now, probably on the second and third day. Everything was depleted, so most of them had nothing left to eat. It was gone. It was nothing. And so Jesus was concerned about sending them away hungry. Although the disciples had been, they had seen Jesus feed 5,000 people. You got to remember, in prior chapters, they came from a region and Jesus fed 5,000. That was 5,000 men, but they didn't count how many women and children. So there could have been at least 15,000 total humans there. Men, women, and children. That's a whole lot of folks. With just a couple loaves of bread and a few pieces of fish. And so Jesus, he fed 5,000 prior. So they had no idea what Jesus would do in this situation. They're going, man, how is he going to do this? We saw what we did. And here's the problem that you and I have, saints. We forget what he has done for us. So when that new trial comes, when that new situation comes into your life, we forget how God delivered us. And so here we are, we're biting our nails. Oh, well, that's what these disciples were doing. They were kind of like, how's he going to do this again? Well, they just witnessed not too long ago. He fed thousands, and here are thousands more that are hungry. And so Matthew says it like this. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And many of us on this road, saints of life, we were without a shepherd for a long time. Oh, yes. Until you came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were scattered sheep. That's right. We were very disobedient. We were disobedient to our parents. We were disobedient to the law. We were disobedient to the school. Come on. Oh, wait. There might be one of you in here that was obedient all their life, huh? Yeah, right. I don't think there was any. I think every one of us in here somehow fell short. Can I get an amen? But how many believe that because Jesus fed the thousands, I need to ask this question tonight. Did he feed the thousands so that he could preach his message? Or did he feed the thousands because he really saw the need in their life at that moment? Well, the answer is evident. It doesn't matter what he was going to say to them. He saw that they had a need right then and there. And let me just say this. Whatever life brings to us, he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Can I get amen? We can't look ahead 5 years. We can't look ahead. It's today. Yesterday is what? Gone. Tomorrow's not even here. He takes care of our needs day to day. And that day, 4,000 were hungry. And some of them maybe traveled, who knows, 50 miles. We don't know the length. But when the Bible says afar, that means it was a long ways. And they didn't have Uber. They didn't have Sister Jessica's bus to pick them up and drop them off. No, they didn't. They either, if they were privileged and they were had enough money, they rode camels to the place, or they walked. There was no horse and buggies for them back then. And so one of the things we see is God's total compassion, God's grace, God's mercy. So you have to look at God. You can't look at God that he's up there angry at you. Even when we miss the mark. And that's the problem that a lot of the church has today. As soon as we sin or we make a mistake or we miss the mark or we stray here and we go there, we think it's over now. But that's not the attribute of God. You got to remember where he found you. We were wretched. Man, a lot of us were just gangstered out. He still had compassion and mercy. So you have to understand, when he saves us, he's the one that keeps us. Can I get amen? We can't keep ourselves, let alone remember what we did yesterday. That's how fragile we are. God's in the business to save us. Can I get amen? To bless our life and to make sure that he keeps the devil away. Can I get amen? Because we was in that other camp. That's right. We got a new dance partner now. That's right, man. Remember back in the day, we was in the clubs. Well, yeah. Come on, you remember that? Yeah, man. Thinking we were looking good. And now, hallelujah, we're dancing with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're dancing with God now. Hallelujah. I love this new dance partner. That's right. And guess what? He allows my wife to dance. All three of us, we'll be dancing. Yeah. With joy unspeakable, full of glory. But see, you have to understand God's attribute. You got to understand who he is. He's not up there with the baseball bat just waiting for you to mess up. Bam. No. This is his attribute right here. But you, O Lord, are a God of merciful and gracious. Look, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God is faithful to you and I. Yet you have to be in your word to understand who God is. God cannot lie. He's not a man like us. And so when you start understanding who he is in our life, you start to have joy. Say, God, man, the God that created me, the God that formed me in my mother's womb, he's not mad at me. He loves me. Can I get amen? Look what it says in Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Oh, come on. We can love someone in the morning and curse that same person at night. Okay, you never done that, right? God, God is not like a human. He doesn't have mixed emotions. Oh, I love you right now, but I hate you tonight. No, he's not like that. The Word of God says that the Lord never ceases what? His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Hallelujah. And so when you start to understand who God is in your life, now you can grow with confidence that I'm a child of God. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm born again. I'm heaven bound. And now there's a hell to shun. Amen. We were all headed to hell. I hope you know that. He delivered us from that place. And now we are called sons and daughters of the Most High God. Can I get amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. So saints, the Hebrew and Greek words translated compassion in the Bible mean to have mercy, to feel sympathy, and have pity. And we know that according to the Bible, God is merciful. Can I get amen? Look what it says here. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. When I came to the Lord at the age of 30, by God's grace, he's allowed me to live another 30 years from that point. But I came to him with $500 of crystal meth in my sock, bound up. I was lost without a cause. And yet, I had no knowledge that he was still merciful to me. He could allow me to just die in my sin. But he was gracious. He was compassionate. He was long-suffering. He waits. This is why. Don't get discouraged when you see loved ones that you know that are not in Christ yet. Be prayerful for them. That's all. Why? Because the same long-suffering he had for you and I, he has for them. Can I get amen? And believe that they'll be saved. Believe God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Look what it also says right here in Lamentations. It says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Listen, he could have wiped us out. He could have destroyed us. I don't know, countless of times, I used to hang out with the homeboys. Man, we used to go to parties, crash the parties, raid the parties. Come on, we used to go cause fights and beat up people, do all kinds of stuff like that. That's, man, I'm telling you, we deserve death. We deserve to be incarcerated. We deserve to be throw away the key. But yet, it says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Man, that's why we didn't perish. He had mercy. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is what? My portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. How many hope in the Lord? Oh, come on. Because his faithfulness is true. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Our confidence is steadfast in him. So saints, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, exemplified all the Father's attributes, including his compassion. So when Jesus saw his friends weeping at the grave of Lazarus, he felt compassion for them and wept alongside them. Everywhere where Jesus went throughout the Gospels, right now we're in the book of Mark, chapter 8, right? And there was 4,000 that needed to be fed. Throughout the Gospels, though, wherever he went, all you saw, Jesus had compassion and love and mercy toward the people. But there was one particular group throughout the Word of God, he had an issue with. Who were they? They were the religious folks. They're the ones that, you know, drive by a church. Yeah, that's right. They'll go to church in the morning and then go through a 10-kager in the afternoon. That's right. Look at the compassion that Jesus had right here in John. How many of you remember the story of Lazarus? Okay, that was Jesus' good friend. Look at that. Therefore, when Jesus saw who weeping? He saw Mary and Martha weeping, and the Jews who came with her. He groaned in his spirit, was troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." This is the shortest verse of scripture in the whole entire word of God. Verse 35 in John chapter 11. Jesus wept. That's it right there, verse 35. He wept with them. But you have to go back to my message. I got it up there on the website. Because I have a message all about Lazarus. It's take ye away the stone. And you'll know why he wept. But we don't have time to go into that. I'm just letting you know tonight, his compassion, wherever he went, he showed grace and mercy and love and compassion. He was moved with compassion for the suffering of others. Jesus healed large crowds who came to him. Look at what it says here in Matthew. When Jesus went out and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed the sick. You got to remember, saints, these people back here in those days, they didn't have HMO and PPO. Come on. They didn't have California, what's it called? Covered California. They had none of that. Come on. They didn't have debit cards and credit cards. No, they came to Jesus by faith. They knew that if he can heal those people, he can heal me. And so he had compassion. Saints, as well as individuals who sought his healing. So he healed the masses, the multitude, the crowds. But then he would have that one-on-one with someone. This is how intimate God is with us. Yes, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the born-again church around the world, there's a multitude. But yet, he'll come to us individually. He takes time out to be with you, to be with me. Can I get an amen? Oh, yeah. We see it right here in Scripture. Look at Mark 1. Then a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down. This leper came to kneel down and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Leprosy was a hideous. It was worse than AIDS. It was worse than cancer. It was a contagious type of disease. Not only did it cause a person to be deformed, but you didn't want to be close to them because that same sickness would contaminate you. And then it would start eating away at your skin. Wow. Wow, this was a hideous disease back then. But look at this. The leper said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." He's talking to Jesus. You got to remember, Jesus is not talking to the crowds. He's talking to this one man. And Jesus moved with what? Anger. What? You probably sinned. No, he didn't. He didn't do that, did he? You probably cursed out your parents. No. No. And Jesus moved with compassion. He put out his hand and he touched him and said to him, "I am willing." And then he said, "Be cleansed." He spoke the word. Jesus spoke the word. Look at that. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately, he didn't say, "Well, just take two of these and call me in the morning. And let's see if you got better. Or I prayed for you, but let's see if it worked. So we'll see you next week." No. As soon as he has spoken the word, look at this. Immediately, say that with me. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. I'm telling you, a lot of times, man, we're just crying, "Oh, Lord." No, you know what? Just have faith to believe that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Can I get amen? Amen. Believe God. Believe God that he deals with us on an individual basis. He's an intimate God. He'll take time out. Look how vast the universe is. Look how vast the galaxies. There are trillions and trillions and trillions of solar systems like ours throughout the whole entire universe. And they are trillions and trillions and trillions of light years all afar from each other. And yet, where God lives, he lives in the third heaven. That is the second heaven. We're the first heaven, meaning this atmosphere. There's three types of heaven that God talks about in the Bible. And basically, God who lives beyond the galaxies comes to visit you and I one-on-one. Come on, just fathom that for a moment. That's God Almighty. That's the love of God. This is why, what are we worried about? If he created us, he can fix us. Can I get amen? So let's move forward now in Mark chapter 8, verse 4, and it reads, "Then his disciples answered him, 'How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness?' He asked them, 'How many loaves do you have?' So they said, 7. Saints, as before, the crowd was in the wilderness, and the disciples asked the obvious question about how they were going to find enough food in such a place. He just did a miracle back a couple of chapters ago. Jesus had already found the resources in a previous remote place for even a larger crowd. And in this instance, when his disciples checked with the crowd, 7 loaves were found. There were 7 loaves of bread. Yet the disciples were completely perplexed." Where's their memory? They were with him when he fed 5,000. And now here comes another 4. And yet they were perplexed. Perplexed about what? So like the disciples, you and I, as I mentioned earlier, we often forget God's provision for us that he provided from the past. Don't you think he's going to take care of your need today? Oh, yes. But see, one of the things that God is looking for, he's looking for humility. How many believe we need to walk in God's humility? That's right. Knowing who he is, we don't come to him boastful and proud. We come to him humbly. And how many believe that this nation needs to humble themselves? Can I get an amen? Look, we're crying out for this nation. I don't want to live in any other nation. I've visited many other countries, and every time I fly back here to the United States, I go, "Lord, thank you for this land that we live in." That's right. Be thankful where he allowed us to grow up and live. I've been to the Philippines back when I was in high school. Neighborhoods, kids running around, no diapers on, no clothes. They're just running around naked. Their windows, there's no glass, there's no screens. They're just made out of bamboo huts. That's right. They're very impoverished. But look at this. God is the one, if we stay humble and we stay right before God, this is when healing and blessings come to us. This is why it's so important to pray together. Can I get amen? But he's asking every individual. He says this right up here. "If my people who are called by my name," what? "Humble themselves." That means walk lowly before God and pray and seek my face and turn. You got to ask yourself this. You mean God's people walk in wickedness? Uh-huh. Let alone the world does. But there's people that know who God is and still walk in wickedness. But God is saying this tonight. Pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then, he says, I will what? Hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Isn't that a blessing? That right there is the fix. For us here, that's the fix. Humble yourself. Can I get amen? So now let's move on to Mark chapter 8, starting with verse 6. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and he gave thanks. Who did he give thanks to? His Father. And he gave thanks. He broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And they set before them the multitude. Man, here's a vast amount of people, and they only had a couple of loaves of bread. How does that work? How does that work? You know, one of the things, and you know us on Sunday morning, we're not one of those churches that'll take 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 offerings and come back and say, well, I don't think there was enough in the offering. We need to give again. I've been there. I've seen that circus before. We walk in faith. But one of the things I learned is when you tithe unto God, man, he will supply all of your needs. You know why? Because you're taking care of the house of God. You're taking care of his house. And he sees that. And so things that want to come your way to try to side rail you, God's there to protect you, to watch over you. Look what it says here in this verse of scripture. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them, and gave his disciples to set before them, and they set before them the multitude. Look at this. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he set them also before them. So they ate, were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and then he sent them away. He fed them first, though. My goodness. My goodness. I can honestly say this. As long as I've known God, and even prior before I got saved, man, I can't recall a day that I went starving, that I didn't have a place to live, no clothes. Praise God, I never had to live in an alley. Why? Because of God's grace. Nothing that we've done. It's his mercy. It's his love toward us. Jesus took the 7 loaves and gave thanks to God for the provision he was about to give. He broke apart the loaves, and the disciples passed them out before the whole multitude. Now listen to this. The verbs could read, Jesus kept on giving bread to the disciples, and they kept on distributing to the crowd. So every time he gave the disciples loaves of bread, they just appeared. And he kept giving it to them. Man, I bet you the front row guys were just scratching their head. Those way in the back couldn't see, but those in the front, they were probably beside themselves. I bet their jaws dropped. Because he kept just giving them bread, and it would appear. Man, when you're faithful to God, things will just appear. Can I get amen? They'll just appear. That's right. Just learn to be faithful to God. Now, a few small fish were found, and after blessing them, Jesus also ordered that these two should be distributed. So he blessed the bread and the fish. Praise God. Praise God for the fish sandwich. That's right. Just a side note, this is not on my notes, but have you guys ever been to Point Loma Seafoods? They have great fish sandwiches there. So I could imagine, every time I've gone there and had a halibut fish sandwich, I'm thinking to myself, this is what Jesus passed out to these folks. A fish sandwich. Man, God is good. He's awesome. As happened before, each person in the crowd ate and was filled. What? The 7 loaves and few fish multiplied so that even the scraps were more than they had began with. Good job, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But here's the key. He was trying to convey to the multitudes but especially the disciples, because they were the ones to carry the gospel when he would be crucified and then taken up to glory. So one of the things he wanted to truly convey to them. And let me ask this question tonight. What was needed for them to see this multitude being fed with loaves and fish? What was the element that was needed? What was it? Who said faith? That's right. Faith. You have to have faith. I was praying for 4 years. I'm believing you, God, that you're going to bless me with a new car somehow. And that I don't have to go get a loan. I don't have to go have someone co-sign for me. I don't have to do none of that. I knew you were going to supply my needs. I just believed. I don't know the day it was going to happen, but it happened. But it happened. So he was trying to get their attention here. He said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed. Sister Vera remembers what a mustard seed looks like. We were in Israel, huh? They're small. It's smaller than a pulga. Okay, pulga means flea. Smaller than that. He says, then you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Wow. Wow. Has God ever disappointed you? Come on. But here's the key. Sister Martha hit it right on the money. If you don't have faith, you can't please God. If you doubt, or if you're one of those someone that's always doubting, someone that's always like questioning God. There's people, you ever came across people, I'll believe it when I see it. Huh? You ever came across those folks? But Sister Martha said the key, faith. Because if you don't have faith, you can never please God. You got to walk in faith. Can I get amen? Amen? I'll back it up right here. But without faith, in Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Come on. Man, you got to seek him with your whole heart. Man, you got to plow, hallelujah, ahead. You cannot doubt. Even in the midst of turmoil, you got to believe God that he's able to work those things out in your life. He's able to do all the things that you're desiring him to do. But he'll do it through your faith, and he'll do it according to his will. When those two come together, it's like a marriage in heaven. Let's move on to verse 10 in Mark chapter 8. Immediately, he got into the boat after he sent them away. He got into this boat and disciples, and they came to the region called Dalmanutha. Say that about five times. Saints, once Jesus knew the people had eaten their fill and would not faint from hunger on their journey home, then he sent them on their way. Praise God. Jesus and the disciples once again got into the boat, and they sailed to the region of that place right there. While there is no site identified as Dalmanutha, it may have been another name. It could be now. This is what scholars are thinking. It could be another name for Magdala or Magadan, a town located on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. This was Mary Magdalene's hometown. And from Capernaum, when we were there in Israel last year, we were able to see from afar as we drove by the town of Mary Magdalene's hometown. I think we did visit that, didn't we? Yeah, we did. Yeah, we were there. That's right. So it could have been that place right there. We don't know for certain, but Jesus ended up in that region after he fed the 4,000 people. Praise God. Let's look at verse 11 now. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him. Here they come. Here they come, picking a fight, questioning. Let me just say this tonight, saints. Please never question God. Even in the midst of a storm in your life, don't question him. He knows all about your storm. Sometimes he allows you to go into that storm so that you can learn something. And then after you've been there a while, he'll pull you out of it. Can I get amen? That's right. But they're to build character. They're to edify us and to build us up. Yeah, no, well, I don't like trials. I don't like pain. I don't like none of that. Yes, my wife, every time I have an ache and pain, she goes, oh, here he comes again. Pray for me, honey. Let's pray. She prays, but she knows I shouldn't have ate something I shouldn't have ate. Can I get amen? She already knows. But these guys, they were like a thorn to the ministry of God. They always came to try to contradict. They always came to question. Let me just say this tonight. Whatever's in the Word of God, written for thousands of years now, and it's for us today, don't question God's Word. Especially when the situation don't feel right. Whatever's going on, you better believe God's Word. Can I get amen? We question God. Well, I don't believe that's what it says now. That's what this culture believes. This is why this culture right now. 63 million babies aborted. Come on. All 50 states now gave the green light for homosexuals to marry. Come on. My brother, who is he's in law enforcement for over 40 years, I think. He's an investigator for the DA's office. He said, we had a good talk. He said, you know what? You know, the big controversy on the border and all that? He says, the most hideous crime that's on the very top of the list that no one talks about. It's not on the news. We're thinking it's about illegals coming across and all that. No. You know what it is? It's not drugs. Sex trafficking. And they're coming, they're funneling through the southern border. They're coming from all kinds of different nations, but they funnel right through there. Saints, I'm telling you, we're in a, our country right now is in a place that God could easily bring judgment. If the church is not crying out and praying and seeking his face, judgment will come. Oh, yeah? Ask Rome. Rome was, you know what? Rome had the same traits like us. Did you know that Rome even had a welfare system? They did. They had everything. They had politics. They had government. They had a military. Everything. But what was their demise? Their demise. What was their collapse? They became immoral from within. And God, you know what God did? He brought enemies from outside to destroy them. We need to pray. We need to pray, pray, pray. Can I get an amen? And so these guys always came to dispute. So saints, upon Jesus' return to the Jewish territory, remember, he was over there where all the Gentiles are, you know, were like us. The Pharisees came to argue with him. They demanded a miraculous sign from heaven, something beyond a mere miracle, for them to believe that he is the Messiah. A sign was used by God and his prophets to accomplish two purposes. So in the Old Testament, guess what they would do if you prophesied and it didn't come to pass? They bring you to the front of the city, and you would see firsthand a rock concert. And it wasn't with Led Zeppelin. No, they would pick up stones, and they would stone that one to death. Just imagine if those laws were here today, you wouldn't see any crime in the cities. Seriously. As soon as you stole something, as soon as you did something, as soon as you did something immoral, man, they would take you to the city and stone you to death. Man, I'm telling you, you would walk around. Not just in fear, but walk around, man, I don't want to die young. But what happened is these Pharisees, they wanted proof. They wanted proof. Look at this up here. Number one, a sign showed trustworthiness or reliability. If a prophet said something would happen and it came to pass, it demonstrated that he was telling the truth from God. Be careful. Don't prophesy to someone, you know, and give them some hallelujahs and all that, and it didn't come to pass. Be careful. I'm real careful who I bring in here, because you don't want anyone walking in shenanigans. You got to be real careful. You better know it's from God. I'll tell you, the true prophecy is right here in God's word. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying for someone and asking God to heal them, but don't say, yeah, God healed you in Jesus' name, and then a week later, they're gone. What? You're going to have some folks looking at you twice. Can I get an amen? Be careful. Be careful, because you'll always be tested by the word. And that's what these guys wanted to do with Jesus. They always wanted to test him. Look at this. A sign showed power. If a message was accompanied by a sign, it authenticated the power and authority of the prophet. And there was, let me ask you this. Who was the greatest prophet that ever lived? Come on, this is where you got to know your Bible. John the Baptist. Who said John the Baptist? Jesus said that he was the greatest prophet that ever lived. That's right. Man, I'm telling you, John the Baptist, he was bold. He spoke the truth. He rebuked the religious leaders, and he rebuked those in government authority that were in sin. He got his head chopped off, but he didn't care, because he knew where he was headed. Saints, the Pharisees were asking for a sign to back up Jesus' claims and miracles. Perhaps they regarded his other miracles merely as random occurrences. So they came with all kinds of inquiries about him. So using the principle from Deuteronomy, we can see how they were trying to test him. We'll go through this quickly. Look at this. In Deuteronomy 13, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, Let us all go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet. Can I get an amen? Or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You know, there's a whole bunch of false doctrine out there. Can I get an amen? That'll lead you astray. You know, I believe it's in Mark. We're going to get to it at the conclusion of the book of Mark. But he said, go ye in all to the world. This is not Matthew 28:19. But he said, those who believe and are baptized shall be what? Saved. Okay? And then he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. He was prophesying. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. So you have to look a little further into that one, because you can't go home and say, I'm going to down some bleach and watch God. It's not going to happen. Nothing going to happen to me. No, he didn't mean it like that. What he meant is when you listen to false doctrine, that's not going to hurt you. You know, when the people come Saturday morning to your doorstep, Elder so-and-so on a 10-speed, or they're in a really nice suits with leather bags, come knocking at your door. See, whatever they have to offer, that's not deadly. It won't hurt you. Why? Because God has filled us with the Holy Ghost, and we're walking in truth. That's right. And then look what it says here in Deuteronomy 18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall what? Die. Look at this. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know that the word which came from the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or comes to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. So they were testing Jesus this way. They were testing him. And they couldn't trap Jesus. Can I get an amen? Saints, if Jesus could not produce a sign, they could accuse him of being a false prophet. They had already seen and heard about many miracles, but that was not enough for them. So, as we conclude in tonight's study, we're going to look at the last two verses. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And he left them, getting into the boat, again departed to the other side. What did he mean by that? He was talking about that generation of religious folks at that time. Remember, he had a hard time. How many remember that he had a hard time with these folks? And everywhere Jesus went, he blessed, he fed, he healed, he raised up, he spoke encouragement, he had compassion, he even raised the dead. But there was these folks that I truly believe he had to sharply rebuke them. And we all know who they were, right? The religious leaders, the Pharisees. Look how he addressed them, and we'll close. Look at it, it says in Matthew 24. Listen, anytime Jesus says, woe, when you see the word woe, man, I'm telling you, he's already sending a judgment onto you. Woe. Look at this. Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much as a child of hell as you are. Look at that, man. He was dealing with these folks that would come and question his authority. But the multitudes didn't question that. We don't read nowhere where they questioned. They came crying out for mercy and compassion and healing. And these ones that walked all proud and mighty and high and mighty came, always wanted to question him. They were jealous because they couldn't do none of this. Look what it says later on in this same chapter right here. Look at this. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men. You know, they had the robes. They had the hats. Man, they had it going on. They probably had shined leather sandals. I mean, you know, they had it going on. God says, even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men. But inside, you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. You got to remember, these are the same folks that killed the prophets and stoned them. When the prophets would raise up and say, you guys need to repent. You guys need to get right with God. You guys are the spiritual leaders. Get right with God. And they would stone those guys. They threw Jeremiah down into a well. Remember, he was known as the weeping prophet. But look what it says here, and we close. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Does your Bible have red writing? Because that's what Jesus is saying to these religious folks. He says, fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Then he called them serpents, brood of vipers. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? Wow. Saints, aren't you so blessed that we're not in that category? Huh? We're not the ones, yeah, right, I want to see it before I believe it. No, we're children of God's grace. We're children of faith. God has raised us up. He drew us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I believe God has more for us. Can I get an amen? Before he comes, he has more for us. I need to ask this question tonight, because I'm always asking this. Who has never been, if you can recall, never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who has never been baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we got one right here.
We were talking about that after.
What? Oh. My goodness. God just put on my heart. This is not my own. It's not on my notes here. Who else? Is there anybody else here who's never, by faith, said, you know, I'm surrendering. I'm coming to you, Lord. I need you, Jesus. Two. Little Miss Isla. Let me say something to you, Sister Isla. This is how much God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And you're probably close to 40, right? You're about 39, going to be 40. So he's been long suffering. Well, I'll tell you what. This is the good news. Is you all know we have a jacuzzi, and it's 24 hours a day. Don't care what day, what time. You want to get baptized, come on. The temperature of the water is about 90. It's in a jacuzzi. So whether it's cold outside or whatever the temperature outside in that water, it's nice and warm. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to baptizing you. So you guys just let me know, amen. God is good. Man, how many believe we serve a mighty God? Come on, we serve a mighty God. And so let me pray so we can be dismissed tonight. And then we'll announce when these two wonderful, precious sisters are going to get baptized in and watch God do the miraculous. You really want to see a sign? Man, God will just come upon you, give you joy unspeakable, full of glory. That's right. Yes, he will. We serve a mighty God. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you are a wonder-working God. You are marvelous. You have compassion and grace and mercy upon the people that you created, God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what was confessed just right now, Lord, that your grace is sufficient. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, for someone maybe listening on the internet that's never surrendered their heart to you. And I'm praying that you would touch them, God, just like you touched us. And it'll be by faith through your grace. And if you're listening, just say this simple prayer. We'll pray it with you. And allow God to do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him praise and glory in the house. Is he worthy? Man, Jesus is so worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.